It is time for the last talk of the day. Remy is unfortunately sick, but Peter is going to take over because he worked with Remy on this project on
yes.
Making the NSDIS actually fit on like tiny devices with not a lot of CPU and memory. So enjoy.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. As Peter said, I worked with Remy on this project. This slide deck was written by him and focuses on the bits he did. I will just try to get through them as well as I can. What is DNSDIS? Who here knows what DNSDIS is? Who doesn't? Okay, a couple of people. DNSDIS is a DNS proxy. I think there's a diagram. Right, so most people deploy it like this. You have a bunch of clients. These might be laptops or resolvers on the internet. They speak to DNSDIS, which load balances traffic to a bunch of backends. This is the common DNSDIS deployment model in ISPs and hosters, etc. However, DNSDIS can also sit on the client end. Imagine in this case DNSDIS living on your laptop or on your home router or whatever, talking to a backend resolver somewhere out there, your ISP or Quad9 or whatever. And it is that use case for which DNSDIS on a router might make sense. So in 2021, a bunch of people said and offered us money to said, hey, DNSDIS would be great because it would enable DNS encryption from the router to the provider or Quad9, Quad8, whatever. And DNSDIS already supports all these crypto protocols, unlike DNS Mask, which doesn't support as many. So we said, well, it's not that big, so we can just do that. Well, we were wrong. So in 2022, OpenWRT supported devices as small as this, 4 megabytes of flash and 32 megabytes of RAM. In 2025, 4 megabytes is unlikely to even fit a useful kernel, but back then they really tried. So we bought a bunch of these TP-Link boxes. I wish it was a picture, but it looks like any TP-Link router you've seen. It's black, 3 antennas. It is slightly better spec'd. It has like 4 times the numbers I mentioned. So we should be able to boot a kernel, run OpenWRT on it, have a web interface, and fit DNSDIS in with that. Turns out DNSDIS is not small. The binary size in a compilation that relies on shared libraries is like 9 megabytes today, plus the shared libraries, which may not be present on your router. So we realized that we were underestimating or overestimating our ability to fit inside a router. And also, we didn't know what we were doing to begin with. Turns out in OpenWRT, two things matter. The size of your binary in the flash file system, which uses compression, and the amount of memory you use that is only yours. So this memory definition, it is called the proportional set size, and it turns out it is super hard to measure, like all things in memory. And you would think if you have a device with 60 megabytes of memory, counting a few bytes here and there would become easier, and it is easier, but it's still not easy. Your memory is split up in a bunch of areas that all have different properties. Some are just yours, some are swapped in from your compressed binary, some are swapped in from a shared library that you may or may not be the only user of, or that part of the library may or may not be just for you. So it turns out it's quite hard to actually count these things. But we managed to define a way of counting, and at that point this is what we found. DNSDIS itself needed about 2 megabytes of memory. Libcrypto also needed about 2 megabytes of memory. And then we needed another 1.5 megabyte for other libraries we needed, including libssl. You'll notice that OpenSSL is actually the biggest memory user in this scenario. And then we needed 2 more megabytes just for storing our data and state, etc. So that's quite a bit more than 4 megabytes. So we tried a few easy things. The DNS disk defaults are for big setups, machines with 4 gigabytes of RAM, handling thousands of clients, etc. Your home router is not like that. So you take all these numbers that are default and you tune them down. Only 50 outgoing queries at a single time, a single TCP thread, a single DOH thread, very small buffers in which we keep track of recent queries, etc. This helps some. Next up, DNS disk has a shit ton of features, many of which you might not need on your home router, like the CDB or LMDB support. Those were built for doing million entry block lists, which you may want on your router, but not everybody would want it. So we took the OpenWRT DNS disk package and added a whole bunch of extra flags to it to allow you to get rid of features completely at compile time. Then there's the compiler linker flags. Those influence binary size and memory usage a lot. As most of you would know, you can tell GCC or Clang or whatever to optimize 0, optimize 1, optimize 2. There's a funny little other one called optimize for size, which does something between 1 and 2, I think, but except when it would make the binary bigger. And this helps some. Hiding symbols just reduces the size of symbol tables, which is helpful. Link time optimization is quite an interesting one because it removes dead code even from libraries you might be linking statically. And I'll get to that later, but linking libraries statically might actually reduce disk usage because you can get rid of code that nobody is using. The bottom one was a bit of a pity. Disable position independent, I think it's execution, because Pi offers more security, but it makes the binary bigger. So that was quite good. The binary dropped below 2 megabytes, compressed by the file system choices OpenWRT makes, and memory dropped a bit as well. So that was decent. Okay, right. So then let's figure out what is happening. Where is all this memory going? The heap is the most important bit because it can be swapped out or swapped in. Most routers do not have swap configured. And of course the binary and the libraries are basically swapped in and out when necessary, but heap memory will just sit there in physical memory. So Remy used FileGrind to investigate some of that. I have to say, I haven't seen this picture before myself. But, it also might be hard to read, but the big reddish thing at the bottom is crypto malloc. So a lot of our memory is apparently going to libcrypto, allocating things, keeping state around for whatever reason. Then there's heaptrack, which makes these nice flame graphs of where memory is being allocated. Which I also haven't used myself, so I can't tell you much about it. But realizing that OpenSSL was doing a lot of the allocating helped us strip some more useless stuff from the binary. So we don't load ciphers and digests we don't need. We don't need error messages. OpenSSL, although they're not quite good, can give quite extensive error messages, and we figured we don't really need those. And apparently some things would allocate big and then be shrunk, which we could skip. And there's links to all the code for these changes down there. Then there's libh2o, which at the time we used to offer DOH. That library is dead. It's not being maintained anymore in any useful capacity. But back then it is what we had. It turned out that library also contained a bunch of things that we didn't need for running on a router. And indeed, the slide also mentions we no longer use H2O. We now use NG HTTP2, which sadly is what everybody uses for DOH. So there's a bit of an ecosystem problem there, in that if NG HTTP2 has a bug, then all open source DOH implementations out there will have that bug. So I hope something else arrives at some point, but right now this is the state of things. And again, we reduced a buffer because 8 kilobytes is more than enough for most DOH requests. We tried using Wolf SSL, which is a nice project, and it has an OpenSSL compatibility layer, but it did not really reduce memory, and adding this extra dependency only does not help the moment some other program does want OpenSSL on the same machine, because then you have both libraries. So that switch did not do anything for us, but it was worth a shot. We tried UPX, which is which compresses binaries, not in the file system layer, but on a different layer. The problem with that is that it decompresses into memory, or if you're unlucky, even onto a temp file system, which means you actually lose the benefits of demand paging. All right, next step, we tried even harder. There's this tool called Bloaty. I think there's output here, yeah. So we built a binary with the features we want. We copy it, we strip it, and we run Bloaty on the stripped copy, because that's the one we want to measure sizes in. But we used the original binary on the side to still have debug symbols. And we found out that a lot of our memory was going to Lua. Lua is the programming language we use for writing the nested configurations in, so it cannot just go. But still, perhaps there was some room we could get back. So we realized that some of the structures in memory were padded inefficiently for memory purposes. And we realized that preventing false sharing, which means having unrelated variables not living close together in memory, costs a lot of memory. So if you put those variables together, you can save memory at the cost of some performance on big multi-threaded machines, which your router is not. Then there's the number of threads. The config I showed earlier did some of this, but it turns out we could strip even more threads from the process, which saves a lot of memory because each thread comes with a stack, and the things it is doing also include a lot of state, of course. So for OpenWRT, we ended up implementing a simpler thread model where for many things we didn't even have multiple threads capable of doing the handling, but just one. Then we found out that we were fragmenting memory. And as Andre said, the best trick, the best way to synchronize threads is to not synchronize them. The best way to allocate memory is to not allocate it. So it turned out there were a bunch of allocations we could get rid of. The Lua garbage collector is not very aggressive by default, so we now trigger it a couple of times during startup, so it just goes and cleans up all those temporary objects that we don't need anymore. And of course, the number of threads helps a lot. We also tried linking the C++ standard library in. This made our memory usage slightly smaller, but it means we now are the distributor of libs3 C++. And again, if a second program wants to use the same library, then we are causing more memory usage, which is a waste. So that was roughly where this ended up. We were slightly over target, but way smaller than before. The return on investment of other tricks we thought we could do would be small. So we set up an OpenWRT feed on our website, and we have contributed all of this upstream to the OpenWRT project. And this is the current status of DNSDist for the current OpenWRT stable release. The binary compressed is 1.5 megabytes or 5.5 uncompressed, which means 5.5 maximum memory use for mapping the binary into.
That's with all the features and
That's with all the features, yes. So we now have two builds, a full one and a not full one. The difference is roughly the list I showed before, CDB, LMDB, etc. And the memory usage total, so that's binary, libraries, and heap, is around 4 megabytes now, which is still a lot on your home router, but it is a lot better than it was before. While we were doing this, we also added UCI integration. If you ever worked with OpenWRT, you will have seen UCI or Lucy, which allows you to configure the software that runs on your system. And before we did that, all you could do was edit the DNS disk config, and there was no integration. So this will make things a lot better for OpenWRT users with DNS disk. It's quite a big PR, so they haven't gotten around to reviewing it yet, but I'm sure they will soon. Here's an example of the UCI config. Not even sure that's big enough to read here, but you can read it later. Oh, this is a fun one. We also added DDR designated. Babak, help me. DNR's designated network resolver.
Discovery.
This allows DNS disk to tell your clients, like your iPhones and your Android devices, that they can use DOT or DOH to talk to your DNS disk. And then you get the situation where your DNS is encrypted from your mobile to your router, and then encrypted from your router to some upstream, which is better than no encryption, but also a bit weird to have that re-encryption step in between. However, this allows you to do filtering on that device. And that is the last slide. Thank you. Yes.
If you could remove the Lua part,
if I could remove the Lua part, how much memory would I save? Not a lot, because OpenWRT already ships Lua, although they're getting rid of that, so it might be an interesting experiment for the next OpenWRT version. Have we tried linking statically against libSSL with LTO enabled? I think we did, but given that OpenSSL is already installed, this will never give us benefits. If OpenSSL was not installed and we knew we're the only user, this will probably be the right course of action. Yeah?
If I use DNS disk on OpenWRT, I'm still using DNS mask, which is, so DNS disk is just between DNS mask and my provider DNS server, or do you replace DNS mask?
So the way I've been running this at home for quite some time is the question is, does this replace DNS mask or sit beside it? It could do either. You need a DHCP server. However, you can also use ODHCPD, which is actually a better DHCP server, I found. So I've been running at home. My office has been behind an OpenWRT box with no DNS mask on it for quite some time, using ODHCPD and DNS dist. And some of the UCI integration we did also offers hostname.lan resolving, where DNS dist pulls that information from the DHCP server.
I guess that was the question already answered, but from Matrix, there's a question, has DHCP integration registering DNS names and DNS mask been implemented in DNS dist somehow?
Right, I did indeed just answer exactly that. Very good. Anybody else? Okay. Thank you all.
Yeah, thank you.